ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna, welcome to our Bhagavata Pravaha online course on the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the previous episode, we discussed the fourth canto up to 18th chapter. In the previous episode, we have seen the stories of Anga Maharaj and Veena, and also the appearance and coronation of Prithu Maharaj. And we have also seen the episode of Prithu Maharaj's chastising Mother Earth and also extracting all the natural produces from her. And today we will discuss a very wonderful instructive incident that happened in the episode of Prithu Maharaj. That was his performance of Ashwamedha Yajnas and his conflict with Indra. That is from the 19th chapter, 4th canto. And we will also see the 20th chapter where Prithu offered such beautiful heartfelt prayers unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And also we will see how Prithu Maharaj instructed his citizens after finishing his sacrifices. And in the 19th chapter of the 4th canto, it is described that Prithu Maharaj has once initiated the performance of 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. And his sacrifices are so great and powerful that various devatas and even the Supreme Lord Vishnu also manifested in that sacrifice. And the opulence of Prithu Maharaj was so great that even Indra also became very envious of Prithu's opulence. Prithu was conducting sacrifices so wonderfully that Indra could not tolerate. Because Indra was the king of heaven, Prithu was the king of earth. King of heaven is considered superior to king of earth. But in this whole episode, we will see that king of earth is considered better than king of heaven in terms of attitude or consciousness. And Prithu Maharaj, when he was conducting the sacrifices, Indra could not tolerate because Indra was given this title Shatak Kratu. Shata means 100, Kratu means sacrifices. So Indra has performed 100 sacrifices. That's why he is called Shatak Kratu and he was given the position of being a heavenly king. And now Prithu Maharaj is conducting 100 sacrifices and he has already completed 99 Ashwamedha sacrifices and only one sacrifice was left. 100th sacrifice. If Prithu conducts this 100th sacrifice also, he would be breaking the record of Indra. And Indra could not tolerate it. So Indra somehow wanted to disrupt the sacrifice, the 100th sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. As Prithu was conducting his 100th sacrifice, Indra came. And Indra, being envious of Prithu's sacrifices and opulences, he has stolen the sacrificial horse. In all the sacrifices of Prithu Maharaj, different personalities like even Nanda, Sunanda, the Vishnu's associates, Lord Vishnu's associates and many demigods also would come. Not only it's the number of sacrifices, but the way the sacrifices are conducted is also very gorgeous and very grand and very great and grave that Indra became extremely envious. So Indra has come in the form of a saint, in the form of a mendicant, and he has stolen the sacrificial horse of Prithu Maharaj. So this is called Ashwamedha sacrifice, and in this Ashwamedha sacrifice, the Ashwa or the horse is stolen. How will he conduct the sacrifice? So Prithu Maharaj was surprised. Who has stolen? Some mendicant has stolen. Some sadhu, some person who was looking like a renunciant, who was having all the religious symbols on his body, he has stolen. So then Prithu Maharaj has instructed his son, you go and retrieve the horse from the person who has stolen the horse. So this Prithu Maharaj's son, he has taken his bow and arrows and he chased Indra along, who was going with the horse, and he released his arrows, and Indra understood that Prithu's son, who was very powerful, he was releasing his arrows, and Indra became fearful and he left the horse and he just ran away. He disappeared. So then Prithu Maharaj's son did not release any arrows on this Indra, because Indra was presenting himself like a mendicant, like a sadhu, like a sannyasi, like a renunciant, like a person who is spiritually inclined. So Prithu Maharaj's son did not like the idea of killing such a saintly person. So he forgave Indra. And although this Atrimuni, he was suggesting our Prithu's son to kill Indra, still Prithu's son could not kill Indra. He showed some compassion and respect, and he respected the culture of giving regard to sadhus. So then the second chase happened. Actually, Prithu Maharaj's son has retrieved the horse and came back to the sacrifice, and the sacrificial proceedings were going on. Then, seeing that the sacrifice has again begun, because the horse has come back, Indra became again insecure and he was so intolerant, and he has come back again in the form of another mendicant, another sannyasi. So again he has stolen the horse, second time also. And again the son of Indra, son of Prithu Maharaj, he chased Indra. Son of Prithu Maharaj is called Vijitashva because he has conquered the horse. He has retrieved the horse from Indra. He is also called Vijitashva. So this Vijitashva brought this horse back, and again it was stolen, and again Vijitashva went to bring the horse. And again he saw Indra in a religious attire as like a sadhu, and Vijitashva did not release any arrows, and he forgave Indra, and Indra disappeared, and Vijitashva brought the horse back, and again sacrifice started. So basically Indra was accepting the attire of a renunciant without the spirit of renunciation. Indra was so attached to the position of being a heavenly king, and he was so attached to his title of being Shatakratu. I should be the only person who has the record of conducting 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So I am the Shatakratu. No one else should compete with me. No one else should be called a Shatakratu. No one should outsmart me. So Indra became so insecure. His deep attachment towards the throne of heaven made him accept this attire of renunciation. So somebody will accept saffron cloth or accept the robes of a sannyasi to be a renunciant, imbibing the spirit of renunciation, or at least attempting to imbibe the spirit of renunciation. Some people may be sadhakas. They are trying to cultivate renunciation. But Indra's acceptance of this sadhu attire or saffron robes is not with the spirit of renunciation, with a deep spirit of attachment. Detachment is needed to accept this attire of sannyasi, but he was having attachment. So the attitude is attachment, the attire is detachment. Attire is representing detachment, attitude is filled with attachment, material attachment to heavenly kingdom and the throne and the title of being Shatakratu. So when there is incompatibility between our inner nature and external attire or symbols that we accept, one cannot run the show for a long time. One cannot be like that for a long time. All the saffron robes or the sannyasi attires or the forms that Indra has manifested, they seem to be very religious, but they are so irreligious. They seem to be very spiritually inclined, but they are completely material. They are done with material motivations. So he did not maintain that so-called renounced order for a long time. He accepted the renounced order for a material reason, to stick to his material enjoyment. So that kind of acceptance of attires is not proper. For instance, in the Vrindavan Dham, in Gokul Mahavan, Putana, who was a Rakshasi, who was a witch, she accepted the attire of a mother, but she had the attitude of killing baby Krishna with her poisonous milk. She has applied poison on her body and she wanted to give her milk to Krishna and kill Krishna. And she was presenting herself like a very beautiful motherly woman. And she captivated the attention of so many people in this Gokul, and she wanted to kill Krishna. So there was absolutely no match between her attire and attitude. She was compared to a sword, a sharp sword in a soft sheath. The cover of the sword is very soft and inside the sword is very sharp. So she was like that. And like that, there were other so many demons also. For instance, Vatsasur, he was a demon. He came in the form of a very innocent calf. And also, this Pralambasur, he was a great demon who came to kill Krishna and Balaram, but he came in the form of a Gopa boy, like a friend of Krishna. So there is enemy within, there is friend outside. So outside he was a friend of Krishna, and inside he was a great enemy of Krishna who wanted to kill Krishna. So like that, the sometimes materialistic people or demoniac people or sometimes even devatas also, they may accept certain attire without proper attitude. So when we accept an attire, we should have the right attitude behind accepting that attire, or at least we should make a sincere, honest attempt to cultivate that attitude. But Indra had absolutely no thought or mood to cultivate spirit of renunciation. He just accepted the symbols of renunciation to cheat people. Because when he is coming like a sadhu in the sacrificial arena, nobody can suspect him. And he stole the horse and then he ran away. And later people realized that, he is not a sadhu, he is a thief. Then anyways, this thief is in the form of a sadhu, let us not kill him. So Prithu Maharaj's son Vijitashva spared Indra's life. And he just left. So in this way, Indra repeatedly tried to steal the horse of Prithu Maharaj. Repeatedly he was trying, and in all his attempts he was failing. When somebody is repeatedly trying to do something, we glorify him as a great determined person. Oh wow, you have so much of determination despite so many failures. With great determination you are trying to achieve this. That's wonderful. But here, this person Indra knows that he is disrupting a sacrifice and it is wrong. Sacrifice is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. Yajnarthat karmanon yatra loko yam karma bandhanah. You know that shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 9th shloka. All the yajnas or sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of the Lord of sacrifices, Vishnu. So now the sacrifice which is being conducted by this Prithu Maharaj is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. And this Indra is creating disturbance in that sacrifice. So he knows he is doing a mistake. He himself has conducted so many sacrifices. If somebody has disrupted his sacrifice, he would not tolerate. But he is causing disturbance in other sacrifice. So he is unable to see other people also as equal to himself. He is unable to tolerate the glory of Prithu Maharaj. An honest person, a sincere person, gives respect and value to another qualified person. But Indra, being very envious, he could not tolerate the good qualifications or glory of Prithu Maharaj. He was so insecure, he was so envious, very jealous person. So now, knowing that he has done a mistake, he is doing a mistake, and he is failing in his attempts to do that mistake, still Indra was so stubborn and so bent upon stealing the horse and disturbing the sacrifice and destroying the sacrifice. So a person who is doing a bad activity repeatedly, despite failing in that activity, he cannot be called a he cannot be positively called like a determined person. His so-called determination is only his stubbornness born out of selfishness. So Indra was repeatedly failing in his attempts, and now at one point, because Indra was repeatedly trying to steal the horse by manifesting the attires of sadhu, and Prithu Maharaj became frustrated, and he himself just got up. So when Indra again came to steal the horse, Prithu Maharaj got up. I will kill this Indra. I will kill this person who is stealing the horse. Then all the brahmanas there, they stopped Prithu Maharaj. Prithu, you are the main person who is conducting the sacrifice. You are not supposed to kill people like that. And only the sacrificial animal is meant to be sacrificed. No one else should be killed in this sacrifice. There are certain rules and regulations governing the sacrifice. So you are not supposed to kill Indra. And we will chant mantras, necessary mantras, to throw Indra into the sacrificial fire. He is destroying your sacrifice. So this brahmanas consoled Prithu Maharaj and made him sit. And then they were about to chant the mantras. And suddenly Lord Brahma manifested in the sacrificial arena. And they say, and Brahmaji said, my dear priests of the sacrifice, O Prithu Maharaj, you should not kill Indra. Indra is not meant to be killed in this sacrifice. But he is disrupting the sacrifice. Yes, you stop the sacrifice. The solution that Brahmaji has given to Prithu Maharaj is to stop the sacrifice. And Prithu Maharaj said, okay, my dear Brahma, if you want me to stop the sacrifice, I will just stop it. So while Indra was so stubborn, Prithu was very submissive. So Prithu Maharaj has stopped this 100th sacrifice. Brahma did not come and ask Prithu to stop his second sacrifice or fourth sacrifice or 10th sacrifice or not even 40th or 50th sacrifice. Prithu has already done 99 sacrifices. This is his last sacrifice. And this yajna has already begun. And Prithu is about to complete this 100th sacrifice also. But at that point, Brahmaji comes and says, Prithu, don't do this sacrifice. So you don't have to do 100 sacrifices. 99 are sufficient for you. So two-digit number is sufficient for you. You don't have to perform three-digit number. So, but Prithu Maharaj was extremely submissive. He understood the intentions of Brahma and he stopped the sacrifice. So this shows the detachment of Prithu Maharaj, while Indra's activities are showing his attachment. Prithu Maharaj was submissive and Indra was stubborn. Prithu was detached and Indra was very much attached. And Prithu was non-envious and forgiving, and Indra had deep-rooted envy and insecurity and hatred. And Prithu Maharaj was very flexible to the instruction given to him by Brahma, but Indra was not at all flexible. He was extremely rigid. Being rigid on some righteous principles is fine, but he was very rigid and stubborn in fulfilling his desire to disturb the sacrifice of Prithu, disturb the worship of Vishnu done by Prithu. So Indra, he was introducing various religious, irreligious principles in the garb of religious principles. While accepting various attires of sadhus, Indra was basically giving so many ideas to common people. People in general were seeing Indra coming in the form of a sadhu and doing his stealing activities. And Prithu Maharaj or Prithu's son Vijitasva did not kill Indra, did not punish Indra, did not arrest Indra, they just left Indra. So common people who are innocent or ignorant people, they are thinking that this is the best way to steal. If we accept the attire of this sadhu, seeing our religious symbols, seeing our attire as spiritually inclined people, nobody will harm us even if we do some mistakes. So they take this sacred attire as a means to commit a sinful activity. So Indra is introducing so many irreligious and unscrupulous sampradayas or systems in the common public, and common public are getting misguided by the mistakes of Indra. So Brahma did not go and give, although Indra is doing such grave mistakes, just to protect his situation, his test to being attached to his title as Shatakratu, Brahmaji did not go and give any feedback to Indra. Brahmaji told Prithu to stop. Brahmaji did not tell Indra to stop. The reason is, Indra was so stubborn. He was so rigid. He was so envious. He was so insecure. He was so attached to his position as Shatakratu and his position as heavenly king. So he has no flexibility. He had no submissiveness. He was really determined to stop the sacrifice of Indra, of Prithu. So Brahmaji understood that even if I go and tell Indra, Indra will not listen to me. Better I go to Prithu Maharaj and then tell him. A stubborn person, when he is asked to stop the activity that he is doing, he will become more stubborn. He will not cooperate. So just like a younger boy, younger child is little more adamant than an elder child generally. So he is more grown up. Indra is very stubborn, like an obstinate, fickle-minded child, while Prithu is like a grown-up child who is more mature and who has more detachment. So our Brahmaji thought it wise to stop Prithu from doing sacrifice than to stop Indra from introducing irreligious systems. So whoever listens, they can only be approached. Prithu was approachable by Brahma, while Indra was not approachable by Brahma. So Brahmaji felt that Prithu will listen to me. He is very submissive. He is very gentle in his behavior. And he is very flexible. So let me go and talk to Prithu Maharaj. And Brahmaji told Prithu, see how Indra is introducing so many irreligious systems. So because of his envy, he is introducing so many irreligious systems very irresponsibly. So better you only stop the sacrifice. If Prithu stops the sacrifice, Indra will automatically stop introducing irreligious systems. As long as Prithu is continuing to conduct the sacrifice, Indra will somehow or the other will come and disrupt the sacrifice and do some nefarious activities. So Brahma thought it wise to stop Prithu rather than Indra. So Prithu Maharaj understood the intention of Brahma. Why a sacrifice has to be conducted? A sacrifice has to be conducted for two reasons. Number one, for the pleasure of Vishnu. Number two, for the prosperity of citizens. Kings perform sacrifices or yajnas for the pleasure of the Lord and for the prosperity of their citizens. Now Prithu Maharaj achieved these two purposes by stopping the sacrifice rather than by doing the sacrifice. How? Because when Prithu was conducting the sacrifice, Indra was introducing irreligious systems that is disrespecting the prosperity of his own citizens. Indra was so irresponsible. He was just thinking that I should protect my position as Shatakratu and my position as heavenly king. So what will happen to the common public? What kind of ideas are they getting seeing me in this attire? That Indra was not bothered about. Indra was so bent upon his disrupting the sacrifice only. But Prithu was more responsible towards his citizens. If I stop the sacrifice, Indra will stop all these bad sadhus or cheating sadhu attires. So people will be automatically protected. So, and also when Brahmaji asked Prithu to stop the sacrifice, Prithu stopped the sacrifice and Vishnu was pleased. Vishnu descended in the sacrificial arena of Prithu and gave him darshan. And Vishnu also brought Indra along with him and told Prithu, my dear Prithu, you please forgive Indra. And the Lord spoke a lot of philosophical facts to Prithu Maharaj, and he told our Prithu Maharaj to forgive Indra. So Indra is here seeking forgiveness. So because Prithu Maharaj compromised and he stopped the sacrifice, then Indra was transformed in his attitude. Indra just went and fell at the feet of Prithu. So he felt guilty. He was so repentant. He had tears in his eyes. He fell at the feet of Prithu Maharaj, and Prithu Maharaj lifted him, as you are seeing in that picture. So Prithu Maharaj lifted Indra and then embraced Indra. So Indra was also an empowered incarnation of the Lord, and Prithu was also an empowered incarnation of the Lord. Indra was the ruler of heaven. Prithu was the ruler of earthly planet. And they both are representatives of the Lord. They both are kings. But there was a conflict between them. There was some envy and clash and conflict. And Brahmaji descended and resolved the conflict. And Brahma resolved the conflict in such a way that Prithu Maharaj's detachment and devotion and submissiveness and flexibility and responsibility towards citizens and dependence on Krishna, everything is glorified to the entire world for all time to come. And Brahmaji also managed to transform the character of Indra. Indra became repentant and fell at the feet of Prithu. So, when there is a conflict between two leaders, their superior leader should not just go by saying that who is right, who is wrong. Okay, he is right, let's reward him. And he is wrong, let's punish him. That's like one way. And sometimes that has to be done also sometimes. But a mature leader who has a long-term vision, who has a broader vision, he will behave in such a way that, he will act in such a way that both the leaders, whoever, somebody may be right, somebody may be wrong. So what am I supposed to do to keep both of them in their responsibilities, in their positions, and transform the situation? So Brahmaji took a decision in such a way that Indra is transformed. So rejection is not preferred when reformation is possible. Indra's character was reformed by Brahma, of course, by the cooperation of Prithu Maharaj. And Indra was not rejected from his position. Brahmaji did not say, "Oh Indra, you are doing a lot of mischief. You are not qualified to sit in the heavenly throne. Just get off from here. You did a mistake. And Prithu, you are doing well. Go ahead." So he did not do like that. So he controlled Prithu and he stopped Prithu's sacrifice, and that transformed the heart of Indra, and Indra came back to pure consciousness. We are not supposed to offend Indra also. Definitely we can learn what not to do from the behavior of Indra, but we should not criticize or blaspheme Indra, because Indra, although he has done a mistake, he realized his mistake. He regretted for his mistake and he begged forgiveness for his mistake, and he was forgiven and he publicly fell at the feet of Prithu Maharaj, and everybody forgave him. So sometimes mistakes happen. Even in this earthly planet or in the heavenly planet also mistakes happen. But one should not justify one's mistake. One should humbly beg forgiveness for one's mistake and rectify one's mistake and not repeat that mistake. So Indra's character was transformed. And Indra remained as Shatakratu, and Prithu Maharaj stopped at 99th sacrifice only. Although the score of Indra is greater than Prithu, means Indra's 100 is greater than Prithu's 99 in one perspective. But that is only comparison between numbers. But if you compare their attitudes, Prithu Maharaj's 99 is greater than Indra's 100. So 99 is greater than 100 in this context because of Prithu Maharaj's glorious consciousness. Prithu's forgiveness is greater than Indra's envy. Prithu's submissiveness is greater than Indra's stubbornness. Prithu's flexibility is greater than Indra's rigidity. And Prithu Maharaj's responsibility is greater than Indra's irresponsibility. And Prithu's detachment is greater than Indra's attachment. Prithu's dependence on God is greater than Indra's insecurity. Prithu was dependent on the will of the Lord. "I am conducting sacrifices because of the will of the Lord. And now I have to stop this sacrifice also by the will of the Lord." So Prithu was very submissive to Brahmaji. And because he is submissive to his spiritual authority, Brahma, Lord Vishnu was pleased, and he descended in front of Prithu Maharaj and gave him darshan. So Prithu Maharaj sacrificed his ambition to perform the 100th sacrifice. So this sacrifice pleased the Lord more. Prithu did not negotiate with Brahma. Brahma, why are you asking me to stop? You should ask Prithu to stop. You should ask Indra to stop. He has done the mistake. So, but Prithu Maharaj was very submissive and he understood the intention of Brahma. So that's why Prithu's 99 is more appreciated than Indra's 100. So Prithu Maharaj's glory as the performer of 99 sacrifices is much, much, much better than Indra's performance of 100 sacrifices. So Prithu is so glorious. And when the Lord instructed Prithu Maharaj to perform the rule of citizens nicely, Prithu Maharaj forgave Indra. Later, Prithu Maharaj offered heartfelt prayers to Supreme Lord Vishnu. So the Lord Vishnu descended along with Garuda and so many other universal celebrities were also there. Brahma came, Shiva came, and many other demigods also assembled there. In front of all of them, Indra begged forgiveness. Brahmaji had a very broad vision to accommodate both Indra and Prithu. He did not just reject Indra. He just accommodated Indra also and brought a transformation in his character. So in this context, Prithu Maharaj offered heartfelt, sincere prayers to Lord Vishnu. Very beautiful prayers, he says. Varan vibhavatvad varadeshvarad buddha. This is the 23rd shloka of the 20th chapter, 4th canto. The shloka says,
Varan vibhavatvad varadeshvarad buddha. Katham vrinite guna vikriyatmanam yenarakanam apisanti dehinam tanisha kaivalya pate vrinenacha varan vibhotvad varadeshvarad buddha.
Oh Lord, please give me vara, give me a benediction. You are varadeshvara, you are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. Vara is benediction, varada means the person who bestows benediction. Varadeshwarad means the best of all bestowers of boons. You are Varadeshwarad Buddha. In the South India, there is one temple of Lord Vishnu. There Vishnu is called Varadaraj. He is the best of all benedictors. So, Varan Vibhavatvad Varadeshwarad Buddha Katham Vrinite Gunavikriyatmanam. Oh Lord, you are the best of all givers of boons, but I am not asking you for any petty material boons. Katham vrinite gunavikriyatmanam. People who are imbued with material modes also have access to such boons. I don't want such boons. And ye narakanam apisanti dehinam. This kind of materialistic boons are hellish boons. People who are living in hell also, they may enjoy such boons of sense gratification. Tanisha kaivalyapate vrinenacha. I don't want any material benedictions. And although you are kaivalyapati, although you are the lord of liberation, you can bestow liberation, I will not seek that benediction of liberation from you, my dear Lord. I don't want that benediction. So, Tanisha Kaivalya Pate Vrinenacha, he rejected the benediction of entering heavenly planets and he rejected the benediction of attaining liberation and merging in the effulgence of the Lord. Then what does he want? Prithu Maharaj clarifies in the beautiful shloka, in the next prayer, he says,
Nakamayenath tadapyaham kvachin nayatrayushmacharanam bujasavaham mahattamantar hridayan mukhachyuto vidhatsvakarna yutameshamevaraham. Nakamayenath tadapyaham kvachin.
My dear Lord, I never desire such petty benedictions anytime in my life. Nakamaye, I don't want. Tadapyaham kvachin. At any time, I don't want such benedictions of liberation or heavenly enjoyment. Yesterday we discussed even Dhruva Maharaj also rejected heavenly enjoyment and liberation. So liberation or entering the existence of the Lord, entering the effulgence of the Lord, Sayujya Mukti, is aspired by some jnanis who are following the path of jnana. And karmis aspire for heavenly enjoyment. But these two are rejected by a pure devotee because he wants bhakti ananda. He wants the ananda or happiness of performing devotional service unto the lotus feet of Krishna. He rejects other benedictions because he says, Nayatra yushmat charanambujasavaha. There is no access to the nectar of your divine lotus feet, or there is no opportunity to render service to your divine lotus feet, my dear Lord. So I don't want such benedictions. And Mahattamantar Hridayan Mukhachyuto. What is the benediction that I want? Mahattama Antar Hridayan Mukhachyuto. When pure devotees glorify the Supreme Lord, they have a lot of love for the Lord, because they hold the Lord's lotus feet within their hearts. They have a lot of love for the Lord and they glorify the Lord. From the glories of the Lord will emanate from his mouth. Mahattamantar Hridayan Mukhachyuto Vidhatsva Karanayuta Mesha Mevaraha. I want millions of years to hear glorification of Krishna, which is being done by his pure devotees. This is the benediction. This is the ultimate aspiration of a devotee. Yesterday we have seen, Dhruva Maharaj also asked, I want the association of devotees. I want to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. That's the benediction Dhruva has asked. And Prithu Maharaj is also asking the same benediction from the Lord. I want to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. For that, give me millions of years. Not literally millions of years. Just like Indra has eyes all over his body. Prithu was not aspiring for years all over his body. Basically, he is expressing his eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. So, may I have millions of years to hear Krishna Katha? Like that. So, Vidhasva Karanayuta Meshame Varaha. I want millions of years to hear that Krishna Katha. And what is the effect of such hearing? He says in the 25th shloka. Very beautiful shloka.
Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavatpadam bhoja sudhakana nilaham smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no vitaratyalam varaihi.
He says, sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto. When beautiful glories of the Supreme Lord are being delivered from the mouth of pure devotees, what is the effect of hearing those glories? What is the result of hearing those glories from those pure devotees? He says very beautifully, Bhavat padam bhoja sudhakana nilaha. The vibrations, the sound vibrations emanating from the mouth of pure devotees contain the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotees hold the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. The saffron dust particles from their hearts emanate from the sound vibration that they make through their mouths. So, bhavat padam bhoja sudhakana nilaha. And when we allow those vibrations to enter our ear holes, smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. Tattva, the Jiva Tattva is Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. We are actually eternal servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishnera Nityadas. And that is our Swarupa. So, he says that in a conditioned soul has forgotten the original Tattva of his own self. The conditioned soul forgot that he is a servant of God. But when we hear from great souls, then our remembrance of our eternal positions as servants of Krishna will be revived. So if we want to revive our remembrance as servants of God, then we have to hear Krishna Katha from pure devotees. So he says, Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam ku yogi namno vitarat yalam varaihi. What is the use for any other petty benedictions? I just want this one benediction of being a servant of the servant of your devotees and hear Krishna Katha from those devotees. That will revive my remembrance of my position as your servant, and that will reinstate me in my glorious constitutional position as servant of God. And he says that next shloka, he says in the 26th shloka, he says,
Yashaha Shivam Sushrava Arya Sangame Yadrichaya Chopasrunati Te Sakrit Katham gunagno viramedvina pashum శ్రీర్యత్ ప్రవర్వే గుణ సంగ్రహేచ్ఛయ. హి సేస్ దట్ యశః శివం సుశ్రవ ఆర్యసంగమే. ఆర్యసంగమ మీన్స్ ఇన్ ద అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్. ఇఫ్ యు హియర్ కృష్ణ కథ, దెన్ దట్ ఈస్ సో అప్లిఫ్టింగ్ వన్స్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. హూ విల్ గివ్ అప్ దట్ ఆపర్చునిటీ టు హియర్ కృష్ణ కథ ఇన్ ద అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్ అన్లెస్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ అన్ యానిమల్. So only animals will be giving up that opportunity. He went to the extent of saying like that also. So and he says that I just want to render service to your lotus feet, my dear lord. And the next question is, Mother Lakshmi is also engaged in rendering service to your lotus feet. If I also come and serve your lotus feet, there could be some competition between me and Mother Lakshmi. Then, my dear lord, because you are more inclined towards your devotees than even your wife, you will take my side. You will not take Lakshmi's side. So he said like that. But actually, the Lord, although he is inclined towards his devotees, Prithu Maharaj never wanted to compete with Mother Lakshmi. Yes, Lakshmi serves the lotus feet of the Lord. Prithu also wanted to render service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But their services are different. Lakshmi serves the lotus feet of the Lord in Madhurya Rasa and Prithu serves the lotus feet of the Lord in Dasya Rasa. So there is a difference in the flavors of their specific services. There is actually no competition as such. But sometimes the devotees may very jovially and sportively speak in front of the Lord in such a way. And he says that, my dear Lord, I asked so many things from you. But I am convinced, you know better than me. Whatever is good for me is known to you. Please bestow that only. He says in his last prayer, 31st shloka, he says,
Tvanmaya yadha jana isha khandito yadanyadasha asita ritatma no abudha yathacharet balahitam pitasvayam tathatvameva arhasinah samihitum.
He says that just as father knows what the child wants, so father has a son, and the son, whatever the small child wants, the father knows. Father knows better the welfare of the child than the child. So similarly, I am your devotee and you are my master, you are my lord. You know what is good for me rather than me. So better you only tell me what am I supposed to take from you. Although you are very kind enough to bestow benedictions upon me, I don't know what benediction to ask. I just asked that I want an opportunity to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. Definitely I have a conviction on this, but I request you to bestow whatever you feel is good for me. The Lord very lovingly told Prithu Maharaj, my dear Prithu, I am very pleased with your prayers and your attitude, your submissiveness to Brahma, your detachment and your whole character. So may you have bhakti for me and execute my orders very carefully and rule the citizens properly and you will definitely attain me. So Lord offered these benedictions to Prithu Maharaj and the Lord departed from there. And Prithu Maharaj continued to rule his citizens very wonderfully. So Prithu Maharaj was actually performing all this sacrifice at certain spot, a little outside his kingdom. And after completing the sacrifices, he was entering back into his kingdom. So we come to the 21st chapter. So Prithu Maharaj was entering his kingdom and he saw the city so very well decorated by his citizens. And all the citizens so lovingly and affectionately received Prithu into their kingdom. And there was a grand welcome. And despite such a grand welcome, despite attaining the darshan of Lord Vishnu and attaining the favor and blessings of Brahmaji and many other exalted souls of the universe, Prithu had absolutely no pride in his mind. And Prithu reciprocated with the blessings of all these personalities in the kingdom. Prithu reciprocated with the welcome offered to all the offered by all the citizens, and all the citizens started glorifying the wonderful activities of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj was an unrivaled king. And Prithu Maharaj once he initiated another sacrifice. There is another wonderful sacrifice that Prithu Maharaj conducted, and in that in that sacrifice, Prithu Maharaj addressed his citizens. And he was speaking so sweetly, so eloquently, that his speech is described in a beautiful shloka. That shloka describes seven qualities of Prithu Maharaj's speech. That is the 20th shloka of the 21st chapter of this canto. The shloka says, Charu chitrapadam slakshnam mrishtam gudham aviklavam sarvesham upakarartham tada anuvadan iva. Charu chitrapadam slakshnam. Charu, very charming, very beautiful. Chitrapadam, he is using very flowery words, very enchanting and charming words. Charu chitrapadam slakshnam, very clear, very easy to understand. Mrishtam, very pleasing. Gudham, very meaningful and very grave words. Aviklavam, very non-duplicitous words. And sarvesham upakarartham means very beneficial words that are meant for the welfare of all people. So these are the seven qualities of Prithu Maharaj's speech. In this way, Prithu Maharaj addressed his citizens in the sacrifice. So Prithu said, "Oh my dear citizens, let us reach the conclusion together. I am your ruler and it is my responsibility to uphold Varnashrama system in my kingdom. And it is my responsibility to serve all of you by taking care of your maintenance in various ways. And I am executing my kingly duties and I am pleasing the Lord by doing so." And by pleasing the Lord, by executing one's duties in a proper exemplary manner, one can attain desirable destinations. And a king is not just supposed to collect taxes from his citizens. He is also supposed to maintain Varnashram in his kingdom. So the society is divided into four Varnas and four Ashramas. And these Varnas are not according to one's birth. They are according to one's qualities and activities. He also said that, "Oh, my dear citizens, you also should follow this Varnashram system in a very exemplary manner. You should not deviate from your prescribed duties and activities. And you should perform your duties with due responsibility and diligence. Then, when you do your duties properly, I will also have a share in the results of your prescribed duties." So there is the supreme authority everywhere. We all are surrendered to that supreme authority. I play the role of a king and you are my citizens and all of us are accountable to the Supreme Lord. And there are so many confirming authorities like Vedas, Manu, Brahma, etc. So we all are supposed to align ourselves with these four Purusharthas and ultimately to please the Supreme Lord. And he says that the essential message that Prithu Maharaj was conveying is not only the external administration of the kingdom and certain rules and regulations that his citizens are supposed to follow. He is also giving his teachings on Bhakti Yoga. Because all these Varnashrama rules and regulations are ultimately meant to please Lord Vishnu. Right in the first canto only we have studied. Ataha pumbhirdvija sreshtha varnashrama vibhagasham svanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Pleasing the Supreme Lord Hari is the main central purpose of doing all our activities as part of different varnas or ashramas. That is supposed to be the main ultimate result. Varnashrama, that is samsiddhir haritoshanam. And he spoke about devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Supreme Lord will completely cleanse the mind and purify us of all material contamination. He said that yatpada seva bhiruchis tapasvinam asesha janmo pachitam malam dhiyaham sadhya hakshinotyan vahamedhati sati yathapadangushta vinishrita asarit. So yatpada seva bhiruchis tapasvinam. People who have a desire or inclination to, or taste, ruchi means taste. People who have taste to render service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yat pada seva abhiruchis tapasvinam. Seva abhiruchis tapasvinam. Pada seva means rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord. If we have some ruchi, if we have some taste and inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, that is the greatest benediction. Ashesha janmo pachitam malam dhiyaha. All the contamination and sinful proclivities that we have accumulated in our heart since several births, Ashesha janma, innumerable births, will completely be vanquished by developing an inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And the devotees of the Lord also, tapasvinam. So, yat pada seva bhi ruchis tapasvinam, ashesha janmo pachitam malam dhiyaha. And he says, sadhyah kshinoti anvaha medhati sati yatha padangushta vinishrita sarit. Just like the water emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, which is Ganges. That Ganges is known to destroy all our sinful reactions. Similarly, if you render service to the lotus feet of the Lord also, all our sinful proclivities and sinful contamination is destroyed. And then he also says, then the next shloka, in the 32nd shloka, he says that when a devotee, if his sinful contamination is cleared, he will never go back to material life again. That's what he says later. Vinirdhuta sesha mano malah puman asanga vignana visesha viryavan yadanghri mule kritaketana punar nasamsritim klesha vaham prapadyate. So vinirdhuta sesha mano malah puman. When the mano mala, when the contamination in the mind is completely cleared off by rendering bhakti yoga, by rendering seva to Krishna's lotus feet, then asanga vijnana visesha viryavan, we will be equipped with asanga, detachment, vijnana, knowledge and realization. So knowledge, realization and renunciation will automatically come by rendering service to Krishna, by doing bhakti yoga. That's what is mentioned in the first canto also. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitah janayatyasu vairagyam jnanam chayadahaitukam. Jnana and vairagya are the results of bhakti. Same thing is mentioned here also. Na samsritam klesha vaham prapadyate. Again, we will not enter this samsriti or the repeated cycle of birth and death. That is the glory of attaining service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So render devotional service with your body, with your mind and with your words. And you should not do any offense to devotees of the Lord. Apart from doing your varnashrama regular duties, apart from performing devotional service, you should also respect Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. That is also very important, he says. So serving them will satisfy the Lord, serving them will satisfy our own selves, and serving them will give liberation to us also. So the Lord eats through the mouths of Brahmanas. When somebody is offering oblations to the sacrificial fire, it is said that the Lord is eating through the sacrificial fire. But more than that, the Lord eats through the mouths of Brahmanas. When we offer food, sanctified food or prasadam to the devotees of the Lord, then the Lord is very happy to accept that prasadam. Their only wealth is good behavior, gratitude and others. They become others' shelter. So the Brahmanas do not have so much of material wealth, but they have good heart, they have good conduct, and they have devotion to the Lord, and they are always genuine well-wishers of people in general. So then Prithu Maharaj congratulated his citizens for doing whatever they are doing very meticulously, and later even the citizens also thanked Prithu Maharaj. And after this, four Kumaras enter the assembly of Prithu Maharaj to enlighten Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj receives them very well, and he accepts teachings from these four Kumaras. So that episode, that chapter we will discuss in the next episode. Today we discussed three chapters, fourth canto, chapter number 19, 20 and 21. In the 19th chapter, we have seen the conflict between Prithu and Indra. and how this conflict has been resolved by the mature intervention of Brahmaji, and Prithu Maharaj exhibited his glorious, wonderful character, his flexibility, his detachment, and his renunciation, and his submissiveness to Brahma, his dependence on the will of the Lord. All these things make him glorious. Although he could not manage to complete 100 sacrifices, he stopped at 99 sacrifices only. Still, his glory has been widespread throughout the universe. And Indra was also transformed. That we have seen in the 20th chapter, and in the 21st chapter, sorry, that we have seen in the 19th chapter, and in the 20th chapter, we have seen the beautiful prayers offered by Prithu Maharaj to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Vishnu was pleased, and Prithu Maharaj pleased Lord Vishnu by sacrificing his ambition to perform 100 sacrifices. By stopping the sacrifice, he pleased Vishnu more than by doing the sacrifice. Sometimes, what is success and what is failure, what is victory and what is defeat, is not exactly according to the external calculations, but it is exactly according to the consciousness with which we render the service. What pleases the Lord is our consciousness or our attitude. Our attitude is more important than our magnitude of doing activities. So attitude behind a service is more important than magnitude of service. So magnitude is important, definitely, but attitude is more important. So Prithu Maharaj, although he could not manage to complete 100 sacrifices like Indra, but still Prithu Maharaj's divine consciousness and attitude pleased the Lord. And later we have seen his heartfelt prayers and his aspirations, glorious aspirations. The greatest aspiration of a devotee is to perform devotional service unto Krishna, render service to his lotus feet, and hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. This is the greatest aspiration. And we also have seen how Prithu Maharaj loved his citizens and ruled his citizens like a loving father, and how his citizens loved him, and how Prithu Maharaj instructed his citizens in a very exemplary manner, mainly presenting the essential teachings of Bhakti Yoga. Tomorrow, we will see the teachings of four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj, and we will also discuss other topics like Prithu Maharaj's departure and how he went back to Godhead, and we will begin the Rudra Gita. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.